Hello, people and creatures shaped like people. This is Bacon Dude, and this is episode 25 of the Bacon Mega Show. Currently, it is the 2nd of April, a Tuesday, about 6 o'clock p.m. my time. And this is the studio time after work. This is the downtime between work and not working. This is a time of reflection, time of thoughts, and time for just a guy to figure out which way is up and which direction to go. And today's topic, I guess I'll mention a little bit about what you do when things don't work out. And that can be musically, personally, career, doesn't matter. Is what do you do when stuff doesn't work? Now, if you are a child, the first reaction is to fold up, ball up, and cry and throw a tantrum. That's also the first time you've encountered this emotion. This is the first time you've encountered a situation where something didn't work out your way. So you follow back on the instincts of what you normally do is you do your distress call. You call your mom. You do everything you can to get comfort and seek solutions to that problem. So in your problem-solving skills, crying is the solution. Now, a grown man that balls up and cries at 40 years old, we might want to question some mental stability factors here. And what's the context? What's happening? How is it they've made it this far with always getting their way? There's so many things you can ask there. So like I say, it's adorable when a two-year-old does it, not adorable when a grown man cries. So as you age and mature and you move forward and you start thinking about stuff like as you encounter things that you don't like or you encounter things that just don't work, as you build up your tool set to work towards and through those issues. I have a song right now that is forever like in one of those back burner projects I'm working on. And the reason why it is because every time I try to get towards a point where I can master the song, something happens. The first something that happened was we had an ice storm here. We lost internet for a few days, and that particular song, it totally just fell flat out the water because the plugin I was using required an internet connection. And because of the bad weather, I didn't have internet. So the plugin couldn't talk to the licensing server to validate that it existed and it had a valid license. So my whole project could not load. And come to find out to fix that, I would have to pay $50 for a device to store the license locally. So I paid money for plugins that technically I don't own because as soon as I lose internet connection, they are no longer in my possession. And the solution is to pay more money to essentially buy my license to keep it locally. And that put a big nail in the coffin for that project. And I'm very disappointed in that company and the way they run their plugins. So I will always avoid them moving forward, even though I'm just an amateur. No one will probably hear this, but just if you're ever in that situation and you paid money and you're still in a situation where you have to ask permission to use a thing you paid for, it's not yours. You don't own it. Walk away. So that's my not financial advice or medical advice or any kind of advice. Once again, it's my disclaimer for this episode and this show is everything I say is of my own opinion. Do not take this as gospel. Do not take this as any advice to move forward to do anything. This is just my opinion. All right. With that being said, that particular song, so it got railroaded pretty hard because I had to go and find solutions to these plugins that I had. And then I discovered Analog Obsession plugins. I had already been using a few of them, but I started going deeper into all their, there's one guy in his offerings. And I'm already a Patreon subscriber. I would rather pay him indefinitely $5 a month, knowing that, one, he's already offering the plugins for free. So I'm really just paying his developer fee and his motivational fees at this point to say just keep creating and keep programming and just keep being whoever you are. So I'd rather indefinitely pay him $5 a month than ever deal with the licensing situation I dealt with before. Because when the internet died, guess what plugins worked? The plugins that were analog accession, the plugins that were locally activated, the plugins that were on my computer that don't require internet connection to run. Because when it was all said and done, the DAW, yes, it's a digital audio workstation. Yes, it's a computer. It should work without the internet. Things should work without the internet. And that's just my little soapbox I'm going to stand on for the rest of the podcast here. So unfortunately, this song got railroaded because I had to stop and essentially remix the whole thing using alternative free replacements for some of the sounds I was using and some of the compressors I was using. And that's totally okay. And during that process of doing that, I did find a flaw. I found that for some reason, when I mix it down, I get a lot of pops and crackles and they make it into the render. And it's not that many tracks. The CPU itself isn't pegged. I don't know where this is coming from. And just everything I was dealing with, plus the mastering quality in general, just I was dealing with a lot of stuff too. I didn't feel like my levels were good enough. My audio quality was good enough. I felt like just a lot wasn't good enough. It was not going as I expected. It was a disappointment. It was a roadblock. And so between the mixing issues, the plugin issues, and then just the rendering issues of that one particular sound, I just stopped. I was like, I am not going to let this be a negative experience. And even though I'm talking about it now, I do feel motivated to try again to poke at it, just not today. This is one of those days where if things don't go right, don't try to keep seeking for trouble to perpetuate yourself in that same feeling. And that's another thing to add is when you are encountering situations like this, don't fuel the flames. If you have control and agency over lowering your energy or lowering your stress about something, then use that to your advantage to find your centerpiece. And once again, I'm saying this from an introvert's kind of point of view, a self-management point of view. I don't know exactly what introverts do in these situations. I guess they talk to friends and stuff, and the friends tell them to calm down. I get it. But I'm in a situation where I'm better off in my own thoughts, and I'm better off handling certain things on my own. Not saying I can do everything myself, but you hit a certain point in life where you know that you are the source and you are the core of your own agency, and you move accordingly. You don't rely on anyone else. You don't sit there and say, rely on other people to balance you. And this is not to be confused with saying from religious point of view, that anyone's listening from a religious side is, it's like, well, he doesn't have God in his life, and so he doesn't know what he's doing or something like that. Let's just skip the whole Christian religion thing for a second here. This is having the tools necessary and the agency necessary to make the right decisions. It's not a brag to say I can do it myself. It's more like when there's nothing left, there's no one here, what do you do? And that's how you make those decisions, is how do you keep yourself calm? How do you make those decisions in situations where it's on you? As a grown man, some things fall back on you and you have to figure them out. And you can't afford to cry. You cannot afford to ball up. You can't afford to ask your mom for help. You're in a situation, you have to get out of it. And as you grow older, as you approach these situations, you develop new strategies to work your way through that. I know that song that I'm working with, I'm going to eventually pull it out. I'm going to find what's happened. I'm going to figure out what's gone wrong. If I have to retract something at that point, it's a good thing, because that song has now officially become a cold project. It is now cold. You can look at it and go, let's thaw this thing out. Let's just take a new twist on it. Let's give it a shot. Let's try it again. And who knows? As I develop my mastering skills and get my levels up and understand how I'm hearing stuff when I mix, which I want to touch on that a little bit as well, and how my listening has evolved, then maybe that gives an opportunity to breathe life into a song that I can look back and go, I heard things differently, I mixed differently, and now I can fix it because I know what it's supposed to be like. And that's kind of the hope I have for that song, is when I'm going to dust that thing off, and it's going to be like one of my better creations. So that's what I kind of have hope and faith for it's going to be one day. And that kind of segues to just stuff I've explored in my studio. So I have not talked much about monitor placement and sound stuff. I kind of reached a point where I try to do minimal changes. But I do want to encounter something very interesting. I followed the rabbit hole of a lot of tutorials about sound isolation for your monitors, monitor placement. The equal length triangle, all three corners, making sure your monitors are at the right ear position with the tweeters and all that stuff, and just make sure you have the right room position. There's so many things you can go down a rabbit hole with. The one thing I do agree with is sound isolation, is how you approach that. So I did the textbook thing, and I bought monitor stands, and I put my monitors on those said stands. And there was a noticeable improvement with the mid-range, that everything they say happens is true. That is really what it boils down to. But there's two things I made that were working against me. The first thing was I made an adjustment to, these are the Cali Audio's LP6. So I made an adjustment to the dip switches to say, hey, it's on stands, hey, it's over here. And sonically, that does change their characteristics. So I'm adding a double whammy. I'm changing their overall parameters, plus moving them slightly further back, and now they're on monitor stands. So effectively, I now have new speakers. I try to mix glass rows using those, or was it? Yeah, I was trying to mix glass rows and a little bit of blue sky using this new position, mainly glass rows. By the way, it's still going to, Glass Rose is going to be released on the 5th of April. Hey, 5th of April, a few days away. That's my shameless plug. Okay. Kind of late for that now. We're about 11 minutes in and I've probably bored somebody to death by now. So that being said, the mix for Glass Rose when I had those monitors in that position came out really bad, almost to the level of bad I had when I tried to mix a song using headphones that were wildly inappropriate for mixing. And then I heard the mix from my monitors, and the inverse of what I was hearing totally happening. And that's one thing I've learned listening is in certain situations, as I learn these monitors, they're so honest that if you mix incorrectly with the wrong source, they will present to you the inverse of what you were listening to. So way, way back in the early ages of late 2023, I tried mixing using, they were premium headphones. They are the Grado brand headphones, but they have known to have a super heavy forward mid-range. And so I mixed a song with those parameters and unfortunately got everything nice and balanced, forgetting the forward in your face mid-range. So when I listened to that song in the monitors, what I got was almost crazy amount of highs, almost like no mid-range, literally the inverse of what I was listening to. That was eye-opening. So fast forward to this new monitor placement with the dip switches changed and the monitors on different stands in the different areas. Sonically, the room was being affected differently. I was hearing different things in the room. And lo and behold, my mix didn't translate well. My mix was actually so far off that I immediately said, full stop, we're not going to do anything else. I'm going to approach sound isolation a different way. And in the meantime, I decided to salvage what I had of Glass Rose immediately and then move my monitors back to their old position and went to town to fix it, because Blue Sky came out great. There was an artifact with the mid-range on the far right pan with one instrument that I did miss. I have trained myself to listen for that kind of boominess, and I will work it actively as I go. This seems to be, this year has been the year of mid-range for me, learning how to work on the low and upper mids. Those seem to be my struggle point at this point, is how warm, how saturated, how this, how that. These are the questions I'm asking myself. And so I brought the monitors back and I was like, there's a definite difference in sound with the mid-range, but I know it's there and I can compensate for it. And I remixed, made some sonic changes, used a few tools to visually see what was happening, and then made some corrections there. I don't really believe in leaning really hard on spectrum analyzers and stuff like that. I don't believe in not using your ears, but I do believe in using them as a reference to train yourself to say, Okay, so if I hear things like this, I know this is about the ballpark of what my mix is going to be and what this should look like on this tool. And if you do your levels correctly, then you can have more headroom to increase the levels. You'll have more headroom to get your song up to the same levels of everyone else. But I wasn't done with sound isolation, so I decided to take a leap of faith and decided to try a new way to isolate these monitors. So let's start with what I had before. So the Kali Audios are already sitting on a rubber mat, like our foam rubber mic material. It's kind of a rigid, stiff material, but it does by itself lift the speakers about a centimeter off the table. And there is a little bit of dampening, not much, but it is limiting some of the resonance coming through from the monitor to the table. And that's the ultimate goal, is to eliminate the resonance of what these things are sitting on. That's why the monitor stands are highly recommended, to isolate them from resonating your table. So there is a noticeable improvement. And I think because of the dip switches as well, there is some magic happening that also compensates for that. And so you adapt to it. Another factor is, now that they're closer to my ears again, I'm almost eliminating some of the room interactions, not all of them, but a good portion of what I'm hearing. A good portion of what I'm hearing is the sonic characteristics of the monitor with almost no room interaction whatsoever. So that's good. And I might be totally incorrect in what I just said, but there is some merit to saying that they are closer to my ears. There's a sweet spot I'm used to. And that listening position that I've gotten used to has yielded me good results. So I'm going to keep working towards it. So the final icing on the cake is that I found. Okay, I'm back. I had to cough up a hairball. So this wasn't a one take, but the quality of my voice was dropping, so I had to do something about it. So I am back. So the final icing on the cake here was I decided to find some isolation feet that were meant for turntables. I found them. I acquired them. They add about a centimeter and a half more of height. They are softer material. And through the non-scientific measurement system of does the table vibrate less, I can say that now the tweeters are a little bit higher. I can say the table resonates a little way less. And I am getting a little more mid-range clarity that I had when the monitors were sitting on their stands. But the good news is that when I was finalizing Glass Rose, that I did not lose the ability to make the right mixing decisions. So I consider this adjustment a win. And even though it was difficult to start over again, essentially with Glass Rose as far as mixing, it was a win. So that's another takeaway with anything you're struggling with or things are not working out, is if you are taking action to change the situation, you will eventually find the solution to your problem. Now, once again, this comes with experience, this comes with time, this comes with patience, this comes with actively thinking of what is good for you. As an introvert, you are at the mercy of some of your own internal thoughts. And so that's why I always say, have those good conversations with yourself. Those are the conversations that will shape the decisions you make moving forward. And this is the Mr. Rogers moment of the day. The whole episode was a Mr. Rogers moment. Sorry, I don't like have trains or jazzy type music, but I have an outro that I can give you guys right about now. Because this is the Bacon Mega Show. This is a audio blog. This is a music blog. This is generally a non-directional worst music podcast in the universe. So have a good night, everyone.